over a bridge where he had this accident. He was almost killed. And in the middle of his tragedy, he called for Vestal Goodman. And Vestal, of all the people in the world, Vestal went to George Jones' side, and she led him to Jesus. I mean, an old-fashioned, tear-jerking, sorrowful, repentant salvation. I like those kind, don't you? And while she was singing this song on their 50th anniversary of the Goodmans on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry, George came walking in singing that great song that she was singing with her, and all Vestal could say was, "Praise God, praise God, praise God." I think we ought to say praise God more often, don't you? Praise God. I mean, that just flows out of my mouth, and that's not a cliche. Are you with me? If you're with me, say, "I'm with you." Oh, I believe you are. And those people online are so loud, folks, you're going to have to watch it. My word, they just about break my eardrums. Swear. Wonderful. I believe that. I'm so astounded at what God knows that I don't know he does. Really. If I really knew, in fact, one time I said, "Lord, show me what you do that I don't know." He just can't do that. You'd have a nervous breakdown. Scare you to death if you knew what I did for you that you don't know. My goodness. My goodness. God is good. Amen. Amen. This morning, I preached a message to you entitled, "The Holy Spirit's Purpose in the Life of the Believer." I talked to you about Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 2, the calling, giving of the Holy Spirit, the importance of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. If we are going to live a life of Spirit-filled believers, we must practice the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. This is not something that can get away from us. It's not something that can be replaced. It's not something that we need to find something else instead of. We need the constancy of the Spirit of God in us. The Bible says, "Don't you know this? That you are the temple of the Holy Spirit." Yes. Your bodies are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, is what it actually says. That we are, now that we've been saved, that means we've been put in a condition that the Holy Spirit can dwell in us. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't get myself that clean. Come on. Oh, all of you could. Okay, but I can't. I can tell you right now, I can't get myself to that place that the Holy Spirit would want to dwell in me. Because there's too much of me creeps out once in a while. And that's no excuse. That's just saying I need to lessen that more and more. But there is something that happens when the blood of Jesus is applied to my life. When I ask Christ to come into my life, when I said, "Jesus, I want you to be my King and my Lord," I wasn't saying second place. Come on. Amen? Amen? I was saying first place. And when he's first place, And how do you do that? Well, you stand around like this, and you say the Lord's Prayer, and you walk around, and you just hope you don't do something. No. No, you depend on him to help you. Amen. Do what you can't do. There's this enormous thing, this incredible thing. I don't know how to put it another way. I'm not being disrespectful, but there's this incredible divine thing called grace that bridges humanity to the divine. There's a great big cavern, an endless cliff of nothingness underneath me on this side, and God's on the other side. And the only way that I can go to God and be involved with God and part of God is this bridge called grace that allows me to go from humanity into the presence of God through the cloak or through the veil of the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. Yes. So it's not me that's cleaning me up. It's not my deeds or actions. It's my dependency on the Word of God and on Jesus to help me do what I can't do. And you know what he does? Not only does he help you, but he takes you as a baby born again. Anybody in here been born again? Now let me just tell you what that means. It means born again. That means zero, from going from zero, born again, helpless, unable to communicate, not able to sustain yourself at all. And there's the hand of God the Father that takes a newborn Christian and he leads us and he teaches us to the point to where we're able to eat and where we're able to take nourishment. We're able to finally set up, crawl, walk. It's a process. You're not born grown up in the kingdom of God. You're born again, brand new. So don't hurry the process. Grow in God. But as you grow, keep growing. And as you grow, you become more able to understand, more able to do things on your own. Not that you're ever at a point where you're independent of God, but you're able to understand who he is more, and there's a relationship that grows between you and him that causes you not to be as weak and independent as you were when you were first born. Now you're older in the Lord, and when you're older in the Lord, you're able to look at some of the stuff that comes around you and go, I don't need it. I don't need that sin. I don't need that situation. I don't need that lifestyle. I don't need this environment. I'm old enough now in God to know that there's safety in the arms of God. There's protection in the arms of God. You know, sometimes people think I'm preaching to new Christians. I've got some news. Can I tell you a secret? Will you keep it a secret? Don't tell anybody this. Online, don't say anything. But when I talk the way I'm talking, I'm not talking to new Christians. I'm talking to old Christians that's forgot what it means to depend on Jesus. We've outgrown. We're to that point that we're mature. That is the hilarious, most funny term I've ever heard. Paul said, I strive to reach the mark of the prize of the high calling. Never made it. But I'm going for it. And as long as we're going for it, then God is putting in us the power to go forth. The only difference is as we go for it, we're growing in power and we're growing in strength and we're able to do and be used by God more than we could be used when we were an infant. When you're an infant, you're self-centered. I want. When our babies grew up in the house, if they wanted something, they'd just cry. What's that mean? I mean, I don't know. So we have this term, use words. And they couldn't at first. But when they learned how to use words, quit crying and start telling me what you want. And then I'll say no. But communicate. Well, God's not like that. He's saying, grow up, quit living a lifestyle that is dependency on a bottle, and get into meat. Paul said that. I want you to grow to the point that you're hungry for steak more than you are formula. And that's a process, but don't rush the process. Let God lead you. Let him show you. Is there anyone here or watching online that can say, 5 years ago, I was here, but I can see my growth in God in the last 5 years, besides myself. You see, that's the process. If you can't see growth in God in your life in the last 5 years, you've been stunted, and you've got something keeping you from going forward. We will constantly reach there. We're not ever going to reach that point where we're looking around at the rest of them and hope they catch up with us. Amen? We're at a point of dependency on Jesus 100%. I talked to you in Acts chapter 9 this morning about a very well-known scripture of the conversion of an extremely religious but extremely dangerous man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, as I told you, was raised in a Jewish home. His family was well-read. Father was an architect. He built bridges for the Roman government. Because of that, his entire family was given Roman citizenship, even though he was a Jew. So he had all the rights and privileges of being a Jew and had all the rights and privileges of a Roman citizen. Dual citizenship. I could have dual citizenship. The last time I was in Israel, I sat with an old rabbi. He looked up my name in this book this thick at the Holocaust Museum with Avi, our guide, and he looked through our family, and when he came to a conclusion, I said, well, am I really what I say I am, or is this just some story I've concocted that I've heard from my ancestors? And he spoke in Hebrew to Avi, and Avi started chuckling. He walked off. He said, come on, let's go. And the old man looked back down. I said, what did he say? He said, you can have your citizenship in 7 days. So if I ever get back to Israel, I'm going to have dual citizenship. That's what Paul had, dual citizenship. He was a Jew, and he was a Roman, in the nation of Rome at the same time. He had a terrible thirst for knowledge, and so he studied the scripture. And as I told you this morning, he studied under the top of the top. Can I just tell you this one time? Now, I want to tell you something. I took a yellow pad of paper one time. People wonder about what I have. I have 3 honorary doctorate degrees, which means nothing. Okay? They're real colleges. But I took a yellow pad of paper one time with a man, and we sat down, and I'd started developing an online Bible, an online institution, learning institution, from an associate degree to a bachelor's to a master's to a specialist degree and then to a doctoral thesis degree. And then I worked out all the classes for each one of those. I got some great men of God to do the teaching. Then I worked on the accreditation. That Bible college today and theological seminary is online. Accredited. If you graduate, in fact, some of the people that graduated from that are administrators in schools and taught colleges around the country. And with that, that was submitted, and I received an earned doctorate in that. And that means two. I've got it. Paul had it. But you know what? You can get too smart for God once in a while. Somebody say yes. And that's not knocking education. I love education. I've sat on so many boards of colleges. I love education. I love to support it. But when I look at Paul, he got so full of the knowledge of God, he didn't even know who God was. He could tell you to a fault the laws of Moses. He could, and there was no argument, he'd blow you away with his knowledge. So when something came along and someone said the Messiah has come, and the Messiah is Jesus Christ, and he died and he was crucified, and he rose on the third day, and for 40 days there are testimonies that they've seen him. There are 500 at one time saw him. He stood on the shore and talked to people. He mingled. He walked through walls of room and then took pieces of meat and ate with them. He let them touch his hands and his feet. He'd heard these things, but his belief system wouldn't allow him to get down just to trust and believe them. The church is born, and the church is growing because it's growing by the giving of the Holy Spirit. 50 days after the death, burial, and resurrection is the Feast of Pentecost. It was called Pentecost in Moses' time. It's not some new term. It doesn't mean romper room or shouting and praising. It's a feast of the Jews. It's a season. And he said on Pentecost, on that particular day, he says, go to Jerusalem and tarry. And that word, when you really mean, it says, go there and wait for what I have. Sometimes we don't have the wait to that God needs us to have. He says, wait on me. Us not wait on you. We have so much Pop-Tart religion in the world today. We stick it in the toaster, it gets hot and popped up, and there it is, ready to go. And that's all the substance is to it. There are times where we wait before God. Amen? They waited. And of the 500 invitations, 120 came. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you believe, now I want to tell you something. It's a historical fact. It's written down in history, and it's an undeniable thing that happened. Even the people that don't believe, the supernaturalists that don't believe in the supernaturalists, they're called, and cessationalists that try to remove the Holy Spirit, and these are doctrines of the world and of Christian and theology that try to come in and remove the great God part of all this experience. It's still recorded that it happened. There was a giving of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. And it looked like tongues of fire on top of people. Many authors wrote about it during the day. Articles were written about it that aren't published in the Word. Out of that, these 120 people left differently. They left powerful. In that group of 120, there was a man that lived in Damascus. He was considered a prophet. I told you this morning I'm preaching on the conversion of Paul, but I'm preaching from a whole different perspective. The man that was in that room and part of that great, incredible giving of the Holy Spirit was a man that was just an everyday person like you and me. After this great giving of the Holy Spirit, he didn't say, okay, I've got it, I'm done. He said, I've got it, and it's just starting. You see, after you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you haven't reached the pinnacle of what God wants for you. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's the kickoff of God using you in your life. Somebody say amen. Well, I don't want to say amen because I haven't experienced that yet. I hear that many times. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, say amen. Amen. If God indwells the temple, the Holy Spirit indwells the temple, say amen. Amen. All the baptism is one thing. That's the Holy Spirit in you wanting to come out of you. That's all. There's nothing more than that. It's when you begin to worship and praise him and you run out of English, he begins to speak. There's no trick to it. There's no game to it. It's real. It's absolutely real. I've experienced it. I wouldn't tell you a lie. I wouldn't stand up here for all the money in the universe and tell you something that I'd answer to God for. I have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I can tell you it's real. It's authentic, and it recharged me and changed my life and gave me a fire I never had before, and it's available to anybody who has Jesus in their heart. So here's this guy. His name's Ananias. So what I preached to you about him a little bit this morning, this disciple, this prophet, sent by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, chosen by God to go meet Saul when he was Saul. Anyone want to know the title of the message tonight? The Ananias Anointing. I'm praying. I tell you the truth when I say this. I can't talk about it a lot because I'll begin to cry right here. But I woke up this morning weeping. I woke up begging God. God, I can't do this. I have no ability to do this. There's no way. All I can do is get up there and say what you told me. But God, I'm begging you, put a hunger in some of these people, if not all of these people, for an anointing of God through the Holy Ghost like they never have. God, I pray that you put a flame in them that says this has to be kindled, this has to grow, and I want to live in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life because I have been saved. I've been baptized with water. And I'm ready to be baptized in the Holy Spirit of God and not sensationalism and not fanaticism and not any kind of anything else. I just want the power of God in my life in such a way that you can say, use, you can say, you're going to be used by me, and I can say, use me, God. That's what Ananias was, a normal, everyday man. He had a prophetic gift. You see, when you receive the Holy Spirit, and there's not one thing on this earth except you're limiting God in yourself that can prevent you from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's in you. He's in you. He lives in you. And when you lift your hands and say, Lord, I want you to complete this work in my life, and you start praising him, he will flood your heart and you'll begin to praise God in a tongue. But the tongues aren't, that's not it. That is the evidence. What's in is this fire that's in you now that God says I can use you in different ways, in new ways. Ananias lived in a city called Damascus in this area. And the Lord speaks to Ananias after the giving of the Holy Spirit. He's in his home. He's minding his own business. His name means to be gracious or to show favor. He's a good guy. Well thought of in the community. Had a past. We all had a past. But he's got a future and a present through Jesus. And the Holy Spirit begins to speak to him because when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's a wavelength that God wants to start speaking to you in that you don't have until you receive that gift. And let me tell you, it's a gift. And don't let anybody try to tell me that when I say that you don't have it yet, that you're not saved. You're saved, but there's a dimension that's not an additive. It's not a formula that God says you may want. It's the natural progression of the believer. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to send you the Comforter, and he's going to abide in you, and he's going to give you knowledge and wisdom and direction and help and use you. John said it when he baptized Jesus. He said, I baptize him with water unto repentance, but that one coming right up there, the Lamb of God, is coming, and he's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. That it is a true, authentic, today experience. But Satan doesn't want you to have this gift. He does not want you to practice the power of the Holy Spirit because you can slam dunk hell through the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not confused. He gives you revelation. He gives you knowledge. He gives you power. Ananias is just a normal guy. Every day. And God begins to speak to him. And he says to Ananias, I want you to go over to Straight Street. I've seen pictures of Straight Street. It goes east to west, and it's straight. go over to Straight Street, go to the house of the one called Judas, and you, when you walk in, here's what he says. There's a man there, and I want you to pray for him. He's in a mess. I want you to lay hands on him. His name is Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias says, okay, I'll go. But I need to explain something to you. And this is me now. God, I'll do what you want me to do, but you need to understand when I do this, this is what's going to happen. And God goes, oh. Never thought about that. Are you sure you want to do this? None of that stuff. God says go. G-O, nothing else. In that phrase, in that two-letter word, go, is the ability to accomplish. If God says go, go. Somebody say amen. Go. That's all he says. So he says, I want you to go and lay your hands on him because I've called him. Now, when I researched this, all of a sudden something dawned on me that probably hit you in junior high if you've been serving God very long. But I realized what God was asking Ananias to do. He was asking him to go without any fanfare. There wasn't going to be movie cameras following him. There wasn't going to be anybody in the church that went with him to write an autobiography of him. He vanished off the scene, except for the end of the book of Acts. Paul refers to him in his testimony of his salvation as a good, honorable man. But he's told by God to go on a mission. And when he gets up there to go, and he goes, he understands that he's going to be laying hands on the current Saddam Hussein, and if you're too young for that, the worst thing you can think of that kills Christians, a murderer, a martyr finder. This man had killed unknown Christians. And he said, I want you to go lay your hands on him because I've chosen him. Now, here's what blew my mind when I realized what God was asking Ananias to do. And when God asks you something to do, listen to me closely. If you're watching online, listen closely. It's no little thing when God says, go do something. It's no little thing. Because all he asked him to do is go into a house, put his hands on this man, and pray for him and encourage him. That's all he asked. He did drop this caveat. He said, I've called this man as a special chosen instrument. Well, let me just tell you how chosen that instrument was. Well, we already know he's going to be Paul. He's going to write part of the New Testament. No, no. You're minimalizing. Ananias was called to go commission the apostle that was going to take the word of God outside of the nation of Israel into the entirety of the Gentile world. The entire world. He was going to be the voice of God outside of Judaism, outside of the nation of Israel. The one man, now Luke was doing it at the time, and as he wrote this book of Acts, you see Luke's accent many times to his doing the same thing, but he called Paul to go outside of the nation of Israel into the entirety of the world, and he just needed one little nobody that was full of the Holy Ghost to go to his house and put his hands on him and kick fire, start him, and get him going and commission him to go. And I want you to understand, it was Ananias' obedience that got Paul on the road to being the voice of God to the rest of the entire world. And even today, his voice is prominent. Because a nobody went to a house and followed God. This Ananias type of believer, or this Ananias anointing, is desperately needed in the day we live in today. Like Ananias with Saul, they do this. This is what the Ananias anointing does. It helps to restore to God what was previously lost. It helps, you're used to, by God to use them to bring healing to those that are afflicted. And Ananias' anointing is someone that will lead people to the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit and help people to rise up for God's service and glory. See, we need more individuals in the body of Christ like Ananias that are dispensers of God's grace, of God's favor. Refusing to pay attention to the anti-supernaturalist and cessationists, as I talked about in theological terms, those that don't believe in the sensation of the divine power of God in today's world, and those that deny the power of the Holy Spirit today, we need someone that'll stand up, and God's looking for those in this critical hour of church history. We are in a critical hour of church history. So if you want to be used by God, there are a few things you have to do. First, you must yourself be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot impart what you don't possess. Amen? So if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, church, if you're watching me online, I'm telling you that's something. If you'll get away from doctrines and foolishness and look to God, I'm going to tell you something. Not very long ago, there was a couple that called me on the phone. And I talked to them for several years. And they were raised in a denomination that did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that it was a thing that stopped at the end of the apostolic age or when the last apostle died. And I said this to them, this young couple, I said, do this. Just go to God and say, Lord, if this isn't you and it's not for me, I don't want it. But if it's you and it's something you want for my life, I'm asking you, God, to give it to me and don't let me miss this experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. God, if it's from you and real, yes, I'm craving it. I want God. If it's not, then God, help me. Help me, God, to avoid it. He said, well, I wouldn't tell someone to. Why? That's fine to pray that. I don't want something that's not from God. I won't preach to you something that's not from God. It was just a few months ago, I pulled up under the awning one day, late in the afternoon, and my phone was ringing. I said, hello? And the wife of this young couple was on the phone, and she was crying. I thought, oh, everything okay? Aren't we alarmist? What's wrong instead of what's right? I said, are you okay? She goes, I've never been better. Why are you crying? She said, well, we went to some folks' house last night that are friends of ours. A house. They went to the house of an Ananias anointing. You have an Ananias anointing available to you to live in. We had dinner. Went in the living room. We started talking and we got off on church, and then we got off on serving God, and then they told us about this experience they had. And we said, how did it happen? They said, we don't know. We just started praising God and saying, Lord, we want what's you and what's full of you and all of you and nothing less than all of you. And they said, we were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And she said, as we were sitting there, we began to pray because the Holy Spirit came into the room and he began to crush us and we began to feel the presence of God and we began to weep. And she said, in just a moment, we were praising him in a tongue that we had never spoke before and worshiping him. And it was the most natural thing that's ever happened. But the tongues aside, what happened to us was a power source that came in us that's still here today. And it's going to be here for the rest of our life. She said, I want to tell you this. It is real. What you said, it's real. And I'm telling you today, church, this is a day that the church of God should be making a push toward finding people and satisfying them with this hunger that is incredibly God. That's all God. It's a gift, and we need to be filled. Our house needs to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled. We need to be Ananiases that are waiting for the call to do something that doesn't have any showboat or celebrity to it, that doesn't have any me to it. It's just obedient to God. But the result will be something that affects the world because we said yes and we went in the power of the Holy Spirit. The anointing that Ananias had is an anointing we can have. Second, you must be in tune with the Holy Spirit in order to hear him. First, you have to be saved. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to have this anointing. Secondly, you need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit so you hear the voice of God and he will direct you. Third, you must be fearless in the face of ominous threat. Only the Holy Spirit can cause you to have that courage to be fearless. Fourth, you must be obedient and simply go when God calls you to go. And finally, you must be deliberate to carry out every detail of your assignment that God gives you to carry out. You see, when Ananias put his hands on Saul, he was placing his hands on a man that everyone else wanted dead for what he'd done. He was evil. But he'd had an encounter with Jesus. And he'd been rim-racked and torn apart and repentant before God. For 3 days he hadn't eaten. He was sorry for his sins. He had been regenerated. He was waiting because the Holy Spirit began to speak to Saul immediately and said, a man by the name of Ananias is going to come and lay his hands on you. And in obedience, Ananias comes and when he put his hands on Saul, then Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was healed of his blindness. He received water baptism and he began to eat and to get strength again. Then he began to be bold and publish the word of God. And after that, I can tell you, you all and I know what Saul, now Paul, did for the kingdom of God. He was chosen. But it took an Ananias spirit to commission him. You see, if you're willing to be sent by the Holy Spirit, you will enable others to do what God's called them to do. Any interest? I wished I could flip on a flame. But the only thing I can do is ask God to flip that flame on in you. Because the Holy Spirit, I read you out of a list a few things of 70 attributes of the Holy Spirit this morning. But here's a few, not on that list, that I want you to listen closely. The Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit dwells in believers and fills them. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to believers. The Holy Spirit is the seal of the believer that lives inside the believer. The Holy Spirit guides you to all truth, including knowledge of even what's to come. He's the revelator. He tells you and reveals the future to you. The Holy Spirit of God is God in His omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent form. Who God in His genius chose to indwell us through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that we could be instruments of God to lead people to Him. That's how God chose it. But it takes an anointing on your life. It's not being a Sunday school attender or a church attender. It's none of those things. It's having a desire for Jesus greater than anything you've ever had in your life. I can't kindle that flame in you, but God can if you truly want that. He won't deny you tonight. If you're watching online, where you are right now, that flame can be kindled in you. We have no time to lose right now in the world we're living in. God's looking for Ananiases. Ray, if you'll come to the piano and just play some good praise music. I'm going to open the altars tonight. Before I do, I'm going to ask you, if you're watching online, if you're in this room, and you haven't made that first step toward the Ananias spirit, and you don't know Jesus in your heart, you haven't accepted Him as your Savior, you'd like to know that He's your Lord and like to know that you're saved, and you don't know that, then tonight's the night you can have that truth and that knowledge. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus and you want to know Jesus, it's simply asking Him to come into your heart, and I'll pray with you.